It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
When we built our place in the country, the plan was to create a respite and haven, not only for us, but for the wildlife that would hopefully join us. Almost immediately, we got what we wished for, and as our place changed from alfalfa to buffalo grass, and from flatland to shelter belt, we've seen a passing show of creatures that fly, hop, leap, and burrow. And we've learned from the old saying, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes the resident wildlife wear out their welcome rather quickly. Now let me say up front that I'm not talking about our topic of the day, which is striped skunk. I'd welcome skunks with open arms, well, almost, in place of the hordes of jackrabbits which once stripped the bark from all our lower fruit tree limbs during a winter of ice, or the badger who one year rototilled my rose garden, looking for a place to call home. By contrast, skunks and I get along pretty well, because I always give them the high ground and go out of their way to be accommodating. Even the family dog has learned the hard way to let those black and white kitties be. Skunks are slow-moving and deliberate, waddling along in the evening hours, doing their good work of feeding on plant pests. Their long front claws make them excellent excavators, and they unearth all kinds of grubs, beetle larvae, and cutworms. They can also make a meal out of grasshoppers and potato bugs, and I've read that they will eat poisonous insects such as scorpions and black widow spiders. Skunks are great mousers with skills rivaling our resident cats. And a skunk doesn't show and tell the mouse by leaving it as a gift on our doorstep, but rather he eats it on the spot or takes it back to the shallow burrow where little skunks are waiting during the spring months of the year. I've noticed that the few skunks we see at our place always seem to be near the fruit tree orchard, probably because they like to dine on fallen fruit. I mentioned that we don't see a lot of skunks here because they are also a part of the food chain of life and are a favorite part of the diet of our resident great horned owls. Seems owls don't have a sense of smell, so they eat just about anything smaller than themselves, including animals that emit their own savory smells. Speaking of that odorous odor, it's a well-known fact that skunks won't lift their tail and spray unless pushed beyond normal limits. First, they try to flee their intruder, then turn and make a stand, hissing and stamping their front feet in an effort to appear more ferocious than the foe. If that doesn't do the trick, they will be forced to turn tail and spray a sulfur compound that will cause all enemies to back off, except the great horned owl and the automobile, the two chief killers of skunks. If you do need to rid yourself or your dog of eau de skunk, there are several home remedies, including tomato juice or vinegar baths. Our best line of defense has been a product we bought in the Northwoods area of Maine, where skunks abound. We can send you to their internet site if you're interested. Although they don't actually hibernate, skunks like to take long winter naps in communal burrows. During warmer months, they're nocturnal animals, hunting from dusk to dawn. Variation from this barrier could be a warning sign. Skunks who are active in the daylight hours could be carriers of rabies, and extra precautions should be taken to keep pets and humans out of their paths.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini and produced by the staff at HPPR. To listen to other Growing on the High Plains episodes, visit hppr.org.